Dearest Melbourne, how I have missed you these last few days. I have missed your complexity, your greenness, and the glitter of your river, combined with the chic of jazz clubs, boutique bookshops, and trams rattling like dragons. I'm writing this from Sydney on a work trip here, but please don't be jealous. Yes, Sydney and I had a brief rendezvous when I first arrived in Australia. But what are those 4 months against our 19 years together? Besides, I had already chosen you over her. Remember how we met? I was new to Australia, staying with my aunt in Sydney, when her Melbourne friend offered to show me her locale. I still vividly remember the evening when I disembarked at Spencer Street Station and that friend drove me to Eklund Street. I took in its sidewalks crammed with dreadlocked youths, the grass outside of Luna Park, smoky with fire jugglers and the window displays of Eklund's famous cafes whose gaudy creamy pastries conjured up old Europe. Ah, at once I fell head over heels with that street, which for me has always exemplified your essence. You, tucked at the end of the ward yet utterly cosmopolitan. See, once I had seen you, Sydney stood no chance. Like her, you were a metropolis, but you didn't show off your bigness. What you did display was your soul. Forgive me the cliché, but how else to describe your appeal? Your soul lurked everywhere in your alleys and main streets, sprinkled with art galleries and street buskers, and in the residential neighborhoods, where trees from opposite sides of the road entwined their branches like lovers. No wonder some weeks later I moved in with you. I remember our first months together when Smith and I vigorously clacked my platform shoes upon your wide, friendly sidewalks, amazed at how often strangers smile at me, and at how even police cars here drove by quietly. After a while, whenever their sirens did sound, I no longer thought about bombs the way I used to in Israel, my former country. I knew right then that I could rest my head on your cushion, that you would slow time for me, who lives your life in a perpetual hurry, that you would soothe at least some of my neurosis, the way no other city ever had. In return, I turned myself into a troubadour. The first poem I wrote in English called Lovers in Melbourne was more about you than the lovers, just as my first book published here was the tale of my two failed relationships with men, but also my love song to you, the love that never failed me. As I'm writing these lines, I am imagining you shrugging your pretty shoulders, the cobbled shoulders of your laneways, dotted with graffitis fit for museum displays. I know what you are thinking. I've never concealed my past metropolitan loves from you. Novosibirsk, Odessa, Ashdod, Tel Aviv. But those were either affairs of circumstance or convenience or great passions that extinguished themselves rapidly, in the process almost extinguishing me. Psychologists often say that changing places never solves one's problems. The geography isn't the answer to sickness of the soul. But since we've met, I no longer buy this. I now think there can be a fit between a person and a place. You haven't solved all my problems, but you have offered me a greater freedom to be myself, and I found my creative tribe among your residents. Perhaps most significantly, every city I have known has its idiosyncratic tune, and yours has infused my writer's voice, softening and deepening it, just as you have my entire life. Love you, Lee.